Somebody has said that silence is golden. Well, not in this case. There is silence in heaven for about a half hour. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 8? Have you looked at the seventh seal opened by the Lamb of God, dealing with the dramatic, devastating events that will affect the entire globe? They have not yet occurred. They are coming down the pike. Again, the Word of God clearly tells us that the Lamb of God opens the seventh seal, the final of the seven seals. If you remember Revelation 5, there's a scroll in the hand of God. It's a scroll of prophecy dealing with the infallible, irrevocable, detailed, to the point of detailing what people in the future feel and what they say and what they do, all that God is going to do, what Satan and radical evil will do, and what humanity will be doing. And that will include you and I and all the nations of the earth. As we come to Revelation chapter 8, we are now into the seventh seal. And this absolutely, well, it's not mind-boggling. It's maybe not what we expect. You'd think the last seal would be the most dramatic, would be the most revealing instantly. I mean, it's like the last few minutes of a major movie when points are made. Well, really, the point is made. Today, lights went out. The sound, everything in the house, thunderstorms, lightning strikes, and rain, everything, went silent. Well, just for a few minutes, there is silence in heaven for about a half hour. Have you ever gotten the silent treatment? Have you ever asked a question and somebody stood there in stunned silence? Have you ever had somebody just simply give you the silent treatment? All of the seals that have been opened have been vast, massive, global. I mean, listen, the four horsemen, the catastrophic devastations, the ultimate rise of the Antichrist, the collapse, the changing over, the globalism, the persecution of believers, the crying out for judgment. And then as we read in the sixth seal, one of the last things was the global edict to persecute and try to annihilate the entire body of Christ. Don't think that's too big of an issue. There was once an attempt to annihilate an entire race of people, Israel, the Nazis, Dachau, Auschwitz, do you remember? Prophesied out of the scroll from the hand of God, the one worthy, not Edgar Casey, not Nostradamus. The psychics and remote viewers will all have to step back as this great servant, this great suffering servant, this Messiah, the Lamb of God, now back to where he had come from, glorified forever, has the right and begins to open seal by seal by seal, prophetic drama, infallible, precise, accurate, irrevocable. It all begins with silence. About the space of a half hour. You ever read in the Old Testament, "Be still and know that I am God"? We were at a college down in Kentucky, Cumberland College, years ago. We'd been praying and praying and praying for revival and praying for things, and all of a sudden, in the small chapel, it was as if God arrived in power. Everything went silent for about an hour. Everybody sat, eyes closed, and wept as the presence and the power of God was so deep and heavy and awesome. After about an hour, someone stood up and said the word of God, "Be still and know that I am God." It was as if another wave of God's presence and power silenced everybody for another hour. Revival broke out, and night after night, college students and youth groups from around all the states had gathered, packing out the little chapel. Some people were asked, who had been there two or three nights, to leave so that others could come. It would last 2 and 3 and 4 hours. An incredible engagement with the manifest presence of God. It was awesome. I was there. Here now is the seventh seal. This has not yet occurred in human history. This has not yet occurred in time as far as being broke open. This is prophecy. This is prediction. This is telling us what will occur. And my dear friends, today, it's going to be silence in heaven for about a half hour. Number one, it clearly will grab your attention. If right now I am talking, you are listening, and I went silent, and you wait. Some would maybe adjust their computer, the sound system, check things out. But that little few seconds of a pause begins to grab our attention. It begins to even weigh on us the longer the silence is there. Number one, silence in heaven. It grabs our attention. But I think number two, the silence is because of the absolute breathtaking prophetic revelation that is about to be given. No man, no oracle, definitely not the Mayans, not even the science and technology of Webbot, could begin to reveal what God in infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent ability can reveal. Here it is. Breathtaking devastations. Absolute silence in heaven. Did you read the words? Silence in heaven. Heaven packed with billions, trillions. Poloi, the word meaning literally uncountable numbers. Trillion, gazillions of angels, living beings. I mean, heaven is lively. When one sinner repents and turns to God, the Bible says, Jesus says, all heaven rejoices. It's a place of immense activity, immense beauty and noise. There is, we don't see it anywhere else. This is an interruption. Silence in heaven for about a half hour. Heaven, there is no bigger place. People can talk about the universe and the billions of planets and stars and how vast. It is but a scratch. A grain of sand in comparison to the vast, vast Huronos, the heavens. Let me tell you something. There is no bigger place. There is no more active place in all of created existence. There is no more important place. This is the heavens, usually plural in the scripture. This is in reference to, maybe what Paul said, the third heaven, God, the breathtaking scene around the throne. Remember chapter 4 and 5? Remember the glimpse that we have? Remember the glimpse that John is given in chapter 1 of this book of Revelation? Apocalypse Jesu Christu. It is the prophecy. And there's nothing that can touch what is said, what is predicted. It's sheer detailed accuracy and it's irrevocable reality. There's no greater place than heaven. A man dying on the cross next to Jesus, cries out, calls Jesus Lord, engages Christ as the sinless Lamb of God, as Emmanuel, as Messiah, dies, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist said, on the cross, in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, my friends, 700 years before he came. There he is, dying, shedding his blood, sinless, the incarnation, the genetics of God, God in human flesh, taking care of all of it. And a thief, a sinner, a robber, dying for his crimes and sins, cries out to Jesus. The words of God in human flesh, who visited for a while to take care, to open the door. You know the words? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Could you imagine closing your eyes and instantaneously, if you died, biblical thanatos, death, there you are. You see God. You see a sea of angels, living creatures, the beauty, the heavens, the colors, the throne. Loved ones that have gone before you in Christ. Oh, Moses is there too. And so is Elijah and Esther and Deborah and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Paul and John Wesley. Oh, this is the reality in heaven, no bigger place, no more important place, no greater place of activity. No other place has this kind of centrality to all created existence. It is from here the emanating power of God sustains, upholds the universe. Molecules, particles, all of it, by the immaterial God, upholds it all. You're breathing, you're listening by the sustaining power of God. And I realize that an atheist is not an intellectual who can prove there is no God, but a individual with a moral conundrum. They can't give the answers of the origins, the endings, life, death, God. They can only beat their chest and scream, there is no God, all the while they breathe his air, all the while their heart beats by a given gift of life. Can they stop death? Has the atheist been to the other side and back? You ever read John's Gospel chapter 1? In the beginning was the Logos, the reason for all existence, that which is behind everything. God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It's in the imperfect in the Greek. It is a form, well, the Greek word pros, face-to-face in eternal equality. The Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was, always has been, always will be God. And Logos, the invisible God, became visible, became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. So on the cross, the words of God. Who else are you going to trust about this? Who else are you going to believe about this? Who else are you going to place your eternal existence? You're going to put it in the hands of the Mayans? You're going to put it in the hands of gurus? Are you going to put it in the hands of who? not even Houdini, who wanted to go to the other side and be able to communicate back and let everybody know. You see, it's out of our finite control. Death is here because of sin and Satan. You better read Hebrews chapter 2 concerning the definition and revelation on the existence of death and who came to conquer it. When I read this, I think in terms of heaven, no bigger place, no more active place, no more important place in all existence, no other centrality. This is the place of locality, the visible, communicating locality of God. This is the place of the source. From the hand of God, a scroll with seven seals. In all of existence, the only one that can open, crack these seals, Lamb of God. And so when you read the words, and when he, referring to the Lamb of God, Christ, this is 2,000 years later. This is, you know, written, you know, many, many years later, maybe 45 to 50 years later, 60 years, after the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and glorification of Christ. Many, many years later, Isle of Patmos. You cannot interpret this using astrology, using occult means. You cannot literally interpret this. I would say if you do not have the Spirit of God who gave this written account and who is in the words to communicate the revelation. You know what, believers in Christ, the book of Revelation is not obscure. It is meant to be one of the boldest, broadest, largest, and final prophetic revelations of God in all the history of biblical prophetic revelation. In other words, it's the most important part of all prophecy. Because it is to be used here and now for our lives. And I want to tell you that if you're a believer in Christ and you're reading into the book of Revelation and seeing the massive prophetic realities and knowing again the source and who has the right and all that it says, and it does not jazz you it spiritually, then I'm going to tell you right now, your jazzer is broken. If it doesn't move you in repentance of any sin and getting right with God and wanting to be a part of the mission of God in the last of days to use the prophecies of this book, chapter 1, threefold blessing, to read it, to hear it, to put, well, take it to heart, put it into practice. Blessed, blessed, blessed. This is the book, the final one out of the entire book, the Bible. This is the contrast to Genesis. This is the finality. This is the apocalypse, the unveiling, all the way to Revelation 19 and all that's going to occur. This is precise. This is the answer. This is what it's about. And it can be used in evangelism. And it could be used in warning. So shall it be. As far as this voice you hear, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, the compelling nature of the presence and the love of God. Listen, I feel God. He's in me. He's with me. He loves me. Just a sinner, forgiven, but I know and have walked with the living Christ for 35 years. I know his power, his presence, and the urgency of the words of God in the book of Revelation in the days that we live in. So when you and I come to the seven seals, some of you may be saying, well, get on with it, Russ. Tell us what it means. Could you imagine sitting there for 30 minutes and there's total silence? I think some people would turn us off. Maybe call the station, email me. What happened? What's going on? It grabs your attention, but it's about the breathtaking prophetic revelations that are about to be given. They are so big, they are so vast, just as the Four Horsemen, this prophetic drama. Listen, communication in dramatic fashion. Communication of God like a pictorial, a scene beyond any movie we've ever seen, because it's flowing out of God's way of communicating. The events are so massive, dramatic, and world-ending that we cannot just look and go eat a meal and go back to life as usual. You see, for believers in Christ, hundreds of millions are lost. God is not willing that any person perish. For all the political individuals and all the military individuals and all of those who do recon on the show, and for the undergrounders, you know who you are. A moment in time, like the thief on the cross, one was basically cursing everything, died and lost his soul forever. The other one recognized who it was that was next to him, realizing his own fate. He's a dying man. His blood's dripping on the same ground that the blood of the Son of God is pattering. Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So if you can hang with me a few minutes, I am focusing on just simply the phrase, silence in heaven. Heaven is a great place. Heaven is a mighty place. There is no place bigger, no place more active, no place more beautiful, no place more protected, no place more important, no place more central. This is where we have the locality of God and His work. The visual. Visible. The source. I think that if you and I was to go to heaven, I don't know if you and I would want to come back. To feel it. See, once you get there, if you are saved, you die absent from the body. Remember Stephen when he's being martyred and killed? Into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, he knew where he was going. Peter knew about it as the Lord gave him insight. Read the book of Peter. He tells about how the Lord made it known to him that he'd be soon leaving the tent of this body. He's been there a couple thousand years almost. Paul's been there, others. Heaven. In this hell of a world at times, in this place where bloodshed and rape, listen, I've seen the blood, I've heard the cries, I've watched the attempts of individuals taking their own lives. I've been there to pray, I've been there to hold. I know what it is to have blood on me by victims, by others. I've stood over the caskets to speak and preach a message. But it's crystal clear there's infallible, irrevocable, indestructible, irreplaceable hope. If you didn't know it already, God is real. Christ did die on that cross, coming out of the heavens. If you remember the Gospel of John chapter 17, the Son of God, God and Son, praying to the Father, returned the glory You know, listen to what he says. Look what he says. Return to me the glory I had with you before the beginning of time, before the beginning of creation. God has come in human flesh. Hope you know him. I hope you know him. Today, I hope you know him. As the oil continues to gush out and the seas get a glimpse of red, what a precursor to what the biblical revelation. You see, one of the reasons for the silence in this place called heaven for about a half hour is because of what is about to be revealed. And it includes a third of the skies, a third of the earth, a third of the seas, a third of mankind being utterly devastated, ruined, burned, dead. We're talking about global events that have never occurred in human history. We're talking about wormwood. We're talking about trumpets. We're talking about an angel that's going to fly in midair crying out, "Woe, woe, woe to the earth dwellers, the inhabitants of the earth." We're talking about the abyss, 200 million, blood flowing. And billions of individuals dying. So when we read in the Old Testament, "Prepare to meet your God," for those of you that have turned and recognized God's love, God's grace, God's might and power and love in Christ, because you've turned from your own sin, you've recognized you're the one that's lost. You're the one that's in trouble. You're the one that will die and go to hell because of your own sin. You've recognized as a thief on the cross, you've received Christ as Lord and Savior. You're born of the Spirit of God. You haven't given in to the counterfeit spirituality and all the other non-human enhancements that only preoccupy, distract, whose reach comes from hell, whose power comes from the fallen cherub. What do you want? God or the devil? What do you want? Yourself to be God or God to be God? What do you want? Heaven or hell? Heaven is an absolutely unequaled, unprecedented place. And you and I, we only have bits, just little bites of information. Just a little bit of data given in the Scriptures. Just a little bit of interaction throughout all of Scripture. You can barely scratch the surface. But if you died right now and you knew the Lord and you went absent from the body and you went present with the Lord, you are in the definition of paradise, the feelings, the mentality, the sight, the body you would be in, of course, your spirit, soul. The glorification has not yet occurred, but that doesn't negate walking around and seeing the largest, most powerful, most active, most important central place in all of existence. It's where the sustaining power for all the universe, for all the physicists out there, for all those at CERN, for all those. And so if any Satanist can write to me and tell me that you've really got more than all of this, well, go ahead, write me, tell me. I'd like to hear about it. For any undergrounder that really knows what goes on and knows that you've been lied to and knows that you're in a hellish system of bondage and fear, then let me tell you something. Read Hebrews chapter 2. You're going to find out that the Son of God, this Jesus, the demons fear and Satan lost to again and again and again, speaks the words, and only he can, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You either know him and his power and his love and his grace and the gift that he gives, or you know nothing. Other than the deception, the lies. You think Satan's going to take you to heaven? You think the fallen cherub's going to somehow, by his finite, limited abilities, give you eternal? Only the infinite can do that, and that's God. Not in one counterfeit spiritual system since the fall of the human race has the fallen cherub in the demonic realm been able to give to anybody what they've lied about, what they've promised. The Gnostics, not one Gnostic has ever evolved, ascended, and became God or a god, nor in the New Age, nor in the concepts of a spiritual evolution to deity. That's Luciferic doctrine. It all began Genesis 3, and it didn't happen then, won't happen now. And at the very end, the great white throne judgment after that, when it's all said and done, it won't happen then. You'll either lose your soul forever and ever and ever and ever and never see the grace-filled, love-filled beauty of God in heaven, having your tears wiped away and having indestructible immortality. Never. You won't have it. Jesus, outside of Jerusalem, he wept over individuals that rejected. They perished because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Did you know that God wants you? Did you know that God provided for you there at that cross and is now by the Spirit of God and in the providence of God, even this moment, summoning you? The Spirit of God within me moves to speak of the Word of God, to tell you that God summons all humanity everywhere to metanoia, to change, to repentance. Stay in the rebellion, in your sins, connected to Satan, connected to hell if you want. That's your choice. If that's what you want, and dear friend, that's what you will get. But Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, did weep over Jerusalem's people. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you up. Did you hear what Jesus said? But you willed not. You would not. You stay in your stubbornness. You have hell to pay. It's your choice. If you're lost in your sin, Satan has rights. You're already hellbound. How are you going to get out of it? You going to rub a few rocks together? You going to remote view yourself somewhere? What's going to change you from the inside out? What's going to affect your genetics? What's going to change your position before God? There is only one, the one that has the right and the worthiness to open the details of all of future human history to the very end. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This Savior that died for you, that's the one. So I, by the Spirit of God, have felt deeply compelled today. Whether you're listening live at this moment or thousands of you that listen to the archives later, it's not about this voice. It's not about Russ Dizdor or Shadow of the Darkness or Preemption Broadcast or any of that. It's about God seeking you, pursuing you, and calling you, because what is coming? Jesus said it this way: what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Elitists, what would it profit, but yet lose his own soul? He pitted the sum total of the world's wealth and goods. You gain the whole world, but lose your own soul. Your soul is more important. Heaven, eternal life, seeing God, being forgiven, being loved by God, more important than the sum total of the goods and the wealth of the world. The value of your life, of your existence, of your importance, of your significance, of your meaning is measured at the foot of the cross. Someone took your place. Someone died for you to break the barriers, bring you home, and give you what you could never scratch up, muster up yourself. So there is silence in heaven for about a half hour. The seventh seal is broken open by the Lamb of God. Verse 2, Word of God, Revelation chapter 8. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The seventh seal, silence in heaven for about a half hour, because what is about to be revealed? The breaking open of the seventh seal leads to the seven angels and the seven trumpets. The angels play a part in the blowing of the trumpets. The trumpets, of course, making the noise. It's about the drawing the attention. It's about announcements. Announcements. Have you read this? Listen, we're going to do this on Friday night, next Monday, next Tuesday, next Wednesday, and the next Friday. We're going to go over the seven trumpets one by one. That's what I felt led to do tonight. We're going to change the front on the Shatter the Darkness website, and we're going to tell you that we're going to do one by one by one by one. And this tonight, Wednesday night, June the 23rd, 2010, my friends, is the introduction. And I saw the seven angels. Angels interacted with Daniel back in the book of Daniel. Remember how that happened? In the context of the Word of God, the events in his life, in prayer. Oh, man, listen. Daniel is seeking God, resolved not to be defiled, in prayer, many days, spiritual warfare, the prince of Persia, and an angel shows up. You know what he says? Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. An angel of God says to a man, you who are highly esteemed. And there is interaction. And even Gabriel, even angelic presence was needed in that case as Daniel sought the prophetic word of God and then was given massive, massive revelation that corresponds directly with Matthew 24, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st John 2, and all of the book of Revelation. Daniel's prophecies included angels giving him insight and explaining things to him as God gave revelation in massive dramatic pictorial form. You can read about it. As a matter of fact, we've done a chapter by chapter, I think 15 hours. It's one of the courses we offer. I'm sorry, it's one that we do sell. And if you don't have money, just write me and I'll give it to you free. If you buy the book, The Black Awakening, you'll get 100 hours of MP3s, training, teaching materials. It includes the entire book of Daniel, verse by verse, chapter by chapter that we've done, along with notes and resources. If you want all of that on spiritual warfare, Book of Daniel, all kinds of stuff, take a read. Take a look, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Before I give into the event that occurs before the first angel sounding his trumpet, because it's massive, a third of the totality of the world, something is hurled down. A third of the earth is burned. A third of the trees burned up. A third of the green grass burned up. Something like a huge mountain all ablaze thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turns into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea die. A third of the ships were destroyed. A third of the ships. A third angel sounds his trumpet and a star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Now, we're going to go one by one by one by one starting Friday. Here, We're going to take a moment, just a moment, hopefully just a minute. We've been doing hundreds and hundreds of these MP3s, and you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of free ones, and it connects to Premshit broadcast and hundreds of teaching and sharing and all kinds of stuff. And we got work to do here locally, and we engage individuals, and we go out, and we're doing conferences. By the way, two conferences coming up, and on our site you can begin to see this, and the newsletter coming out this coming weekend will tell you this. In Las Vegas, Nevada, August the 27th and the 28th, Minister Dante Forsten of the Omega Hour radio show, Lynn Marzulli and myself, Russ Dizdar, will be speaking there August 27th, 28th in a conference, Las Vegas, Nevada. Again, you can go to shatterthedarkness.net and begin to see the information on that. Click on where we talk about it. And there's also the West Coast Paranormal Conference that's going to be Orange County, California, close to John Wayne Airport. Later in October, more information is coming in on that. A number of speakers, and I believe including Michael Heisner, Lynn Marzulli, Joe Jordan, many others, and I've been invited to come to that. Two conferences coming up. We'd love to do conferences wherever. We're going to seek to do one in Canton, Ohio in late September. So there's one in August in Las Vegas, and we're going to try to do one of our own up here in this area in late September on a different theme altogether. And then in California in late October, and we'll have that down later on. By the way, you can sign up on our site for the twice a month we put out a newsletter with new broadcast, podcast information, teachings, again, all free. We have a few courses that we do sell, but let me tell you this. Steve Quell gave us this time of live air for almost a year, and the funding that he had put up has ended, and all of it ends by the end of this month in about 7 days. I've told you that in all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of airtime and hours and MP3s and even hundreds of radio interviews that we've done, we've never asked for a penny, ever, and we never ask a victim, and that's just how it works. But we've gotten some, we prayed about it, got some counsel from others, and in all of our live and all of our broadcasts, we're going to probably begin to add an actual commercial, a spot that says something like this, that we have no commercial products to sell, no commercial funding that backs us, no businesses, that we are simply praying for about 100 individuals to come on board and support the program and the entire work that Shatter does, because it reaches into 80 countries of the world, and this year alone, 1,600,000 of these one-hour teachings, one-hour MP3s that are all free, will have been downloaded, listened to. 80 countries of the world. Well over 1.5 million. And it all began a couple of years ago with one or two or three. And we've seen the incredible blessing of God. And actually, the live show you're listening to right now was provided by, and if you ask Steve Quell, he'll tell you what he told me. God told him to do it, and he gave it to us and funded thousands and thousands of dollars to have this on the air. We're grateful, and it has made me a prayer warrior even for his life and his work. But we are going to tell you that 30-second, at least two, maybe 30-second to up to a minute. Out of 60 minutes, there'll be those little commercials that'll tell you about the book that we're writing, the other books that we're writing. We've got other books coming out. But what we need to fund all the project, all the stuff, we had about 12 or 13, 14 people per month. Now we're up to about 18 people. And I want to say to the new folks that want this show, and I received letters today, and I never like to read individuals' names. I don't have permission. I don't want to do that. But I am astounded by a letter that I got today. And this is similar to the ones this week. It says, God bless you. He says a kind word about me concerning knowing me on planet Earth. The Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. I just finished reading the book, The Black Awakening, I've written. And I'm so moved in the spirit to know the Lord is calling me to spread the word in the Northeast, or in the Northwest, rather. After many years of intense warfare, chronic illnesses, near-death experiences, and miraculous healing, years of counseling, hours of deliverance from Masonic cult, five generations or more, I almost... And he goes on to share and share names and what's going on in his life. But he wants to purchase a whole bulk of these books and materials, and he's talking to me about other things, and he's, I'm just astounded. And it, immediately after that email comes another one, and I know they're probably listening right now. They sent a wonderful gift in, and your gift today that you sent in has made us, along with a few others, has made up all the monies needed for July. So just with four or five people that have said yes and the offerings that you've just given have now indicated that we are able to go for all of July. So we will be here for live all of July. And so we're going to be praying. Listen, out of hundreds of thousands that have listened, out of 1,500,000 or more downloads, out of 80 countries, my leading is this. I'm just simply praying that there might be about 100 individuals that will help the entire project. We have local people that have helped fund my ability to be here. And then we have those from around, I mean, Norway, Finland, Australia, Canada, United States. And so we are looking to be able to see our entire work funded well and taken care of, but specifically this program. So I went too long right now on this issue and just telling you that if you're interested in this work, you want to know more about how to help it out, then just simply go to shatterthedarkness.net and take a look at the little place that says support this work. And hey, thanks for letting me take a few minutes to tell you that. And I am astounded by God's grace where hearts and lives have been moved to say, we definitely want you live on the air, and people are doing what it takes. So we've trusted the Lord in this, as I told you a week ago or so, and believe that God, whatever, whether he opens this door or another door, whatever, we would be completely at peace. And God has given me that peace, and the door is opened, and it looks like clearly all of July. And if the commitments are clear and we continue to grow, then we will be able to declare we'll be on here for all the next year, and as long as the Lord has us doing this. All I want to do is be faithful. All I want to do is know that you're saved and you know Christ, and that you've come out in anybody that in come out of darkness and come to Christ. Enough said. Thank you for listening to that. We'll try to make the little commercial things a little, you know, just precise and short. Get those out of the way. Right now, back to silence in heaven for about a half hour. When you come down to verse 3, because when the seventh seal is opened, the silence is deafening, attention-grabbing, breathtaking. Everything is suspended. Everybody's waiting, even John. And then the prophetic, dramatic revelation of future events begins again, verse 2. John says, as he's done many times, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, angelos, messengers, servants. To them were given seven trumpets. Now, the trumpets deal with, well, massive, it's again, attention-grabbing announce. It brings an announcement. And we don't even get to the first one until verse 7. Something happens between verse 7. For every believer in Christ out there, it may have something to do with you. The seven trumpets that are going to be blown that bring the revelations of the events of the future that involve the burning of a third of the earth, burning of the third of the trees, burning of the third of the grass, a third of the sea turning blood, the living creatures, a third of them dying, a third, on and on and on and on, a third of humanity dying. Seven trumpets bring about, again, something the History Channel has never been able to bring out in clarity. can't mix this with occult ideology, non-human psychic enhancements. This comes from God alone. See, I trust the one that died for me in this revelation here. But I want you to know that as you listen, for all the believers in Christ, thousands and thousands and thousands of believers in Christ, let me ask you how your prayer life is. I've said this in the past as I have quoted from the theologian Charles Hodge years ago as he quotes about John Knox, the great reformer, the wicked queen of Scotland that opposed real Christianity. Here's what it says. She feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. I really do believe, and I've seen it in exorcisms hundreds of times, the dark side fears the authority, the name of Jesus Christ, and the prayers. Why do you think the dark side in Babylon in Daniel's day sought to eliminate even his praying three times a day? Because the prayers was the open vehicle by which God, the laws of engagement, God will operate through those prayers. Look at the book of Acts. Massive miracles, massive signs, massive wonders, healing, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of salvations. Angels involved as at Rhoda's house they are praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for Peter. Bound in prison, guarded by guards, iron barred gates. It's no trouble for the angels of God that are sent. In answer to the prayers, angels are sent. The chains fall off. The guards are blinded. And if you read the event in the book of Acts, it says that the iron barred gates opened all by themselves, releasing Peter. He goes to Rhoda's house. He goes to where the prayer meetings aren't going. He knocks on the door. They're praying for his release. The door is opened and it's almost unbelievable. The answer to prayer is standing there looking into the house. Rhoda is so crazed about it, she slams the door in his face. Peter is freed. Angels involved by the hand of God and directives of God, but only because the vehicle of prayer. You know, you don't pray, you read this in James, you don't pray, nothing happens. You don't ask, you don't receive. Jesus made it very clear, very simple. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Yet in our churches, we're spending on Sunday morning about 38 seconds in basic general prayers. Where's the massive intercession for the lost? Where's the massive authoritative prayer against the dark side? Where's the massive, powerful, Spirit-led prayer for the rest of the body of Christ? Where's the massive, massive intercession, fierce prayer for the nation, for the politicians, and for the military men and women? God says to do it. Second chapter, Timothy, first priority and with urgency. Look what it says and the reasons. Pastors and leaders, we need to have all of the marketing junk sucked out of the process of ministry, and a half hour to 45 minutes of prayer, powerful, bold, Spirit-guided, biblically-based, thunderous, emotion-filled prayer of the saints in the body of Christ. What's wrong with us? Five minutes left in the show tonight. Let me tell you this. Verse 3. Another angel, seven angels are still waiting, but another angel. Seven angels are ready to blow the trumpet, but that's suspended. Here's a picture, a glimpse now. What's occurring right then and there in John's recording of things. This is what will occur in the future. that will help break open or cause the angels to sound the trumpets. The coming judgments of God involve the prayers of the saints. Radical judgment on radical evil will occur because some of the saints are praying. God has a right to judge. We're not going to live in this hellhole of good and evil and rape and bloodshed and loneliness and fighting and killing and stealing and wars and those who destroy the earth. We're not going to live in this forever. All of the radical evil is going to end. God and God alone will be the one to do this. He has a right. Don't you think he has a right to judge? Who's going to stand up and say, God, who created the world, created mankind, we who opened the door to the devil, sin, and all the rest, brought it all in, your sin, my sin, we're the ones screwed up, we're the ones messed it all up. God has a right to judge. We've sinned against God. We've messed up his creation. Luciferians and elitists riding on the dark waves of hell's, well, false promises, facade, masquerade. You need to hear this. You really need to hear this clearly. And all of us who want to be great prayer warriors, and if there's anything I can encourage you to do as a Christian, become as strong as you possibly can. The most powerful prayer warrior is needed now, and a powerful soul winner. Read the book of Acts. Let it be a manual of information for these last days. Verse 3, another angel who had a golden censer. This golden censer, the idea that something is valuable, something that's vast, is valuable. A golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints. With the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Your prayers are heard by God, my friend. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Acts chapter 4, the prayers of the saints, they raised their voices together to God in prayer. The Holy Spirit of power came down and even shook the building. They went out and led people to Christ. I pray you know Christ, and if you do, I pray you become powerful in prayer, powerful in witness. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. On June the 23rd. We'll see you on Friday night. Take a look at Shadow of the Darkness for Thursday. We will have a message at 6 p.m., but off the site only. Hey, God bless you. Hope to see you at the conferences. Good night.